Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Call Gordon, ask for Sarah, hang up and repeat.
Ain't got time for it.
Like, please stop.
She's scared of things running on fire.
She broke my heart, but I love it just seen now. Hush, hush. I thought I heard her call my name now. Hush, hush.
I can't with you.
Hey, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
And I'm Ben. I'm the youngest out of us and the sunshine into Gotham.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comic books that we read through each week here on the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together, read Batman comics, watch Batman movies, talk about anything nerdy and comic booky that we feel like each week or whenever the episodes come out.
Yeah, that seems to be more the theme, but that's okay.
How's it going, guys? What's going on?
Great. How are you?
Doing all right.
Great. What's been going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or
what
I'll
do you think you're doing,
you.
Nerd?
Stop spending.
Get
all
those words!
Nerd!
Nerd! Nerd!
Or I swear to God,
geek.
You're gonna spend your 20
geek.
Years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Would you like me to go first so that you guys can sit there awkwardly and think?
Well, I want to go off of what Jake said he was going to talk about, so I was waiting for him to talk before me, but you can go first, Aaron.
So Toby and I started Tekken 8, and the art and the storyline is magnificent.
Is it fun?
It's magnificent. The storyline, it has, before you start story 8, or the actual game, it has recap of all Tekken, all seven Tekkens.
Nice.
Oh, and the storyline, so you can follow the Mishima story and saga.
So they're really leaning into it. No, that's so good.
And it's pretty glorious so far. We haven't gotten too far into the story. We're only like chapter 5 or something.
Are there any new characters that you like?
Not that you've gotten to play with yet. I mean, there's some new ones. There's some old returning people. It's just, there's different, like a lot of the, they've added like, I don't know what they call it, the rage art and stuff, and which was in 7, but they've added, they have some of that, but then just some of the moves and some of the rage art stuff is just really neat and how they've added it. So it's gotten amazing reviews and scores across the board. So it's definitely, Toby's been playing on like, you know, single mode or whatever, but we're doing the story together. So that's kind of fun.
That's fun. I might have to pick that one up.
Yeah, I might buy it for Noah's system and they can bring it up to the family TV. So,
yeah. So it's fun. Definitely worth checking. We've talked about Tekken before, so I'm not going to go into great detail, but it's fun.
Yeah. Just invite us over.
We'll do. We'll have to have another battle night.
See if I need to buy it or not.
Tekken night. That was a lot of fun. I have been watching some reality TV show.
You're welcome.
I saw a trailer for this on some social media and then asked Ben about it. And he, at the same time, had been recommending shows to Sarah and I and recommended The Traitors.
Traitors. What is that on?
So we're watching it on Peacock because we are watching, at Ben's suggestion, the Australian version first. There is a UK and an American version. I'm very happy with Australian reality TV.
It's basically Mafia, Aaron. So,
or Werewolf.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Mafia Traitors.
Yeah. So it is a group of, it's a season long, same cast, and there's a group of people, and there is a select few that are plucked out and made into the Traitors. And their mission is to eliminate the rest of the players without being found out by the group.
So each night, the Traitors agree. They meet secretly in a little tower, and they agree to murder one of the non-traitors. And so, that person does not show up to breakfast, so they're gone. They get sent home.
And then that before the episode ends, the group gets together and votes one person that they think is a traitor to leave the show. And
there might be...
So is it kind of like The Mole, almost? Similar?
Better.
Okay. Because so which one should I watch first? Australia.
So
watch
there's
Australia.
Yeah. Okay. So in the mole, there's one mole, and the audience doesn't know who it is. So this, you know who the traitors are. The audience, you're playing along on both sides, and you're getting frustrated with both sides. And
okay,
so,
well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So I don't want to reveal anything about the show except obviously, well, the whole the one person standing, the last person gets the money that they have earned throughout the show.
Mm.
Okay.
There's multiple people at the end. So at the end of the show, there's a couple people left. And if there is one traitor there, the traitor gets all the money. If it's only non-traitors called faithfuls, if it's faithfuls left, the faithfuls split the money. Okay. But if there's two faithfuls and a traitor or whatever, the traitor takes it all.
Sweet.
Yes. So we are at the point, without telling you where we're in the show, that the traitors are now starting to turn on each other because only one of them can win the pot and they have to be alone, right?
Like, excellent.
Well, they would split the money. Okay. So if two traitors are at the end, they split the money. But if there's only one traitor at the end...
It's not explained in the early part of the season very well about how they're going to end.
Okay.
And each
check that out.
So Australia is great. Josh and I are watching UK right now. It is also great. I highly recommend, but in a different way, and I won't say why.
Okay. I just added my list.
Yeah, no, they're legit. The US version is what we watched first. We watched season one of US when it was airing live because it's half randos and half reality TV celebrities.
Personalities, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So like people from Survivor, people from Big Brother, The Real Housewives, shows like that was half of the cast of US One. And I watched it because I cared about one of the Survivor contestants. But Josh and I were like, this show is not great. The show's kind of flawed. And we were like picking apart. Josh and I are self-proclaimed reality TV snobs. Like, we study the shows. We like love the editing and how things are happening. So we like really studied and we didn't like it. And then US 2 came out and it was only reality TV celebrities. So they didn't have any randos. So I got really into that and we're like, let's just buckle down and watch the foreign seasons because we like Australian and UK shows more typically and they're better.
It is stress inducing. Like,
your wife is so stressed out about it. She
texts
me.
Not an emotional person while watching TV, but like I am on the literal edge of my seat. Like hands on my head, be like, I can't believe they just did that. I can't believe they think it's that person. Like, what are they doing?
Like, is there sex, nudity, that kind of stuff?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's your kids could totally watch it.
Yeah, I'm because we're always looking for
the whole family. Okay, cool. Could enjoy parts of it. Yeah.
Yes, but it is very high stress level just on the emotional betrayal and backstabbery.
Oh no, they'll love it. Yes. I think they'll all like that then.
Yes. Yeah. But no, it is nobody's shacking up. Well, they might be, but they don't.
It's not featured. The U.S. version is meaner because it's reality TV people, so they're all like saying "fuck you" and stuff. But the U.K. and Australia, it's pretty chill.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah, it's good though.
Okay,
starting to call each other out and yell at each other in the cast off room or whatever they call it. It's very good. Yeah,
nice. Cool.
All right. Speaking
of betrayal.
Who to trust.
Nice segue.
All right. So we are finishing with the second part of Hush this week. 614 through 619 and Wizard Issue 0. Or the parts of Hush from Wizard Issue 0. So
could you imagine if we did a recap on just the Wizard magazine?
We should sometime. Last week... you know, we rehashed really well throughout the episode, I thought. So I'm not going to go too much into detail about what happens. But we get the reveal of who Hush is. We find out what and why they've been doing what they've been doing.
We get multiple reveals.
We bring fake-outs. In even more of the Batman family and Rogues Gallery cast into the story. And this is not a slow six issues.
No, not at all. And it starts with Batman congratulating Joker on killing Thomas and his lifelong friend because he realizes that he doesn't need friends to do his job, right?
Yeah, they have a laugh in the alley.
So he beats the shit out of him. And he's, like, ready to kill him. And I'm like...
Well, he's also, like, thinking about his relationship with Joker in the past. And all like, of I the worst deeds. Have killed him long ago. And
Barbara got shot. Sarah Essen got killed. Robin got bashed in the head and blown up.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are referenced. And I'm like, this childhood friend you haven't talked to in forever. I'm sorry. I love humans. But if one of my Facebook friends dies, I'm not going to kill the Joker when I didn't kill him when he killed my best friend. Like, where's your priorities, Bruce? It's literally a Facebook friend versus like your child.
Yeah.
Robin. Right? Am I yes. wrong? No, was that right. harsh?
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas Elliott just quote unquote saved his life. Story wise, like.
Yeah.
Plot armor, but.
Well, and obviously this is still imagery, right? Like it's sequential art and all that. What I love and how they tell you how Batman is crossing the line, not just through the text boxes or anything, that he's going one step further. Like Joker knows he's going to get the shit beat out of him. He's never the guy to go physically toe to toe with Batman, but he's like, he starts begging Batman to stop the yeah. beating that he's receiving. He's like, stop, please stop, stop. And then Batman
I
finally,
didn't do it. I didn't kill him.
Stop me if you've heard
well,
this one.
Yeah, it looks like he's saying stop as in stop hitting him. Each panel is like stop, stop, stop. But then it ends with stop me if you've heard this one. So he's not, to me, asking him to stop punching him.
But that's such a good Joker line, yeah. Oh, that's right? Totally, like, because yeah, yeah. that's what you think that he's doing, and then it's he's trying to set himself up for a joke. So.
And he Which says he didn't do it.
Why the Joker's great.
Didn't do what? Oh, didn't shoot.
Didn't do what? Didn't shoot Tommy Elliot in the alleyway.
Who it is not, I mean, at the last issue or last page of 613, Tommy's laying there with a bleeding chest and his eyes open, but they jump right into telling us Tommy's dead. He's
yeah.
Yeah.
And all of the clues have been pointing, not all of them, but a lot of the clues had heavily been pointing to Tommy being the villain or the one, the puppeteer of the story so far.
They basically told us it was him.
And now they've pulled that rug out from under us. Correct. And it can't be him because he's fucking dead. So,
Which begs the question then, who is in charge? Who else could it be? And of course, Gordon is the one to stop. This is our first Gordon
Catwoman
moment.
Catwoman tries first, and he throws Catwoman off him. Mm-hmm. Even though they've been smooching pretty heavily lately, he KOs her.
He doesn't want that tender loving.
He wants to beat
yeah.
his friend.
But Jim shows up, and it had to be Jim, because Jim is the person that is most tormented by the Joker other than Bruce.
We have not seen or heard from Jim in quite a while. He wasn't a part of the fugitive and murderer storyline. He stepped aside for all that.
Yeah, I didn't miss him. But it was a nice moment here. And there's like, is it raining? And there's a silhouette of him like holding a gun. It was a good little moment.
Yes. And he's taking good care of himself. He's gotten himself back into shape. He's off the Burger King and popcorn.
All that running.
Yeah.
He's looking like a pretty good 90s superhero here. And it's the friendship. He's trying to not to remind him of all the good he's done. It's don't let Joker be the one that breaks you. Don't let him win this way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give in to that rage that I know you're feeling.
And I think having Jim come back to be the one that stops Batman is appropriate. I think it's a good way to bring him back, and it's probably one of the few people that Bruce or Batman would listen to in that moment.
Well, because yes. they've done it for each other
right.
over this exact same thing mm-hmm. six times now.
Yeah. But I like
fucking
that. I like
Facebook that. Friend. Sorry.
So... I had a question, and this isn't a complaint, but one of the questions that's not answered in these last six issues is, how did Jim get there? How did he know where to be at that moment?
Yeah, was that orchestrated?
Was it another string?
I think so.
Could Jim be Hush? Mm-hmm. He's wearing a trench coat. He's standing in the rain. He's in the alley where somebody just shot Tommy Elliot.
No, he's part of the GCPD. They're not all that smart.
He's retired. He's gone.
No, it can't be. Sorry. I
agree. It can't be him, but I do think we're supposed to suspect everyone and everything.
Well, and I think okay. we definitely are.
I didn't. It didn't cross my mind.
It didn't cross my mind either.
But it is referenced how common the trench coat situation is. At the end of this, when Bruce is trying to piece everything together, Batman refers to himself as Bruce Wayne has five of these trench coats, and he references everyone that has one. I think Jim is mentioned.
Like, the trench coat store has got to cater to your police officers and your giant lizard people. So.
And also billionaires. How nice is this trench yeah. coat? How did Jim afford trench coats that Bruce has five of?
Hmm.
Well, they're fine. They got to be a little bit cheaper, right?
No, it's Bruce.
That's fair. So there was a good callback to Jim while he was in Metropolis in the last chunk of stories. He was telling Or he was thinking about how Perry White is too good of a reporter to not have put Clark's identity together, that it makes him think about Jim being such a good detective. Could he know who Batman was?
Which, and we think, yes.
We think, as the podcast, that yes, he does know. But we're also starting to find out that Hush, or whoever is the puppeteer, must also know Batman's identity.
So you're saying it's the ventriloquist?
Yes.
The puppeteer?
Yes. Pulling the strings.
It's a new puppet.
Oh, God. I would have been furious.
What if the bandages of Hush come off and it's Scarface?
That would have been amazing.
It would have been greatest reveal
of all time.
I'm just picturing... what's his
Shut
name?
Shut up, dummy!
Hush, dummy! What's the ventriloquist's name?
Wesker.
Wesker is just like under the trench coat with his hand up in the through the neck, and the puppet is the head of Hush.
That would be so fucking great.
One arm is stuffed, right? One of Hush's arms is just dangling all the time.
Jake, that needs to be your new sticker illustration. I demand a Wesker Scarface collaboration as Hush.
All right.
Oh, that's great.
I want it by the next time we record. All right. That's your homework.
Okay.
If you want that sticker or any of our other products, merchandise, please reach out.
We only have one other thing.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's not, guys. Spoiler alert.
And he doesn't kill the Joker. Batman doesn't kill Joker. He doesn't. Shock, shock, shock. And this whole first issue is really just, will he kill Joker? Yeah. It ends with him in the alley, and Harley's knocked out. Catwoman's knocked out.
Joker
is
a little
dead.
Smushed face.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Tommy's body laying in the garbage, and somebody else is looking down from the rooftops.
So it couldn't have been him.
Yeah.
And he flips a coin, and then he says, get the joke.
And then Jake jerks off. And then
No.
So we now have Two-Face in the story. That was funny. We now have Two-Face in the story. Supposedly.
Yes. so we have... So then in 6:15, then we move on to Tommy's funeral and Bruce giving the eulogy.
Captain, my captain.
Yeah.
There's no one there.
Dick and Tim are. And they're like, have you ever heard of this guy?
Yeah, I love that Tim is literally like, who is this? And it felt very, so this is our first Tim moment, and he feels like a kid here. And I like that. I like when Tim is young. And it really just happens with Dick and Bruce.
And Dick tries to talk to Batman about it and says someone is behind all of it. Mm-hmm. And they find out that Joker did not kill Tommy.
Yeah.
Analyzing the murder while in the Batcave.
Going through the evidence, doing the detective work, right?
Yeah. What was your take on this Batcave? This thing, like, the number of vehicles and other thing in here, that was a pretty cool page. I don't know if that was... That's
like
definitely,
all the movie
It
mobiles.
Was all fan, like, fan service.
It's very fan service, but yeah. It is all the Batman movie.
This whole book is fan service.
It's like a rotating gear work of which car he wants just, like, rotates into the spot. Yeah, like, it's massive. I personally like the more dingy kind of like one big computer, the bat, you know, armory, and then the mobile over here. But like, this is a lot of fun. This is very big superhero world stuff.
Uh-huh. Once again, the toy box.
Yes. Yeah. Literally, it's his toy box, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So Dick asks Batman about Catwoman relationship.
Yeah.
And anybody else, Batman's going to, like, tell off, but he's like, Dick has earned the right to speak to me without fear. He's the only one.
Although I did punch him a few weeks ago. We're talking out.
Who remembers that?
No, I love Nightwing and Batman's relationship at this point in the story. Mm-hmm. They have gone through, not only story-wise, a ton, but decades have these two characters been together in print and in the minds of collectors and fans. And so Dick Grayson is allowed to become this fully fledged character who has grown up, who has matured, who has but has opinions that actually matter and have basis because he was there for all of this.
Right. Yeah, he was.
And they drive their little chosen Batmobile to go track down the Riddler, mm-hmm. who's just doing a little bank heist with some riddles. So not anything different than what he normally does. Unlike all the other villains we've had so far, the Riddler has not been heightened. And we are made very aware of that in Batman's internal monologue.
Why.
Right. It's almost like a misdirection.
That he's become routine and he's been ignored in the plot that is happening.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
And that kind of fits, right? Like, we haven't had a lot of Riddler in our timeline. One, because there's not a lot of Riddler to stick in the timeline. Yeah. And when he does show up, he is still one of them that's very gimmicky. Like, he is a mastermind. He is incredibly intelligent, and they use him that way. But he's still doing the mazes and the puzzle boxes and the clues, right? Like, just the fact that he tries to give away his crime, Batman's like, that it's overplayed and it's stupid and he's not even like worth my time these days.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say they stop him and then we get two reveals.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Which of the reveals did you like the best?
Clearly, I care more about Bruce revealing his identity to Selina. Jake's over here like, Two-Face's scars are healed?
No, I agree. It's the
Catwoman reveal in the Batcave, and you know,
that's huge.
Yeah, it was huge. That was huge, and I loved it. I thought that was great.
The Two-Face one.
I did not like the Two-Face in this.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they do that in the animated series? Didn't he get
healed?
Fixed?
I think so.
That's the one thing in this book I did not like, Two-Face getting healed.
Shocker, it will be retconned.
I'm sure.
I don't remember how.
So it's a worthwhile fix later on down the road. So he's healed for a little while.
And then he tries to be
Harvey for a little while.
Oh.
He tries in here. Sometime he teams with Gordon for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work great.
What I didn't like about I wasn't broken up about Harvey being healed. I thought it was weird that he was bald. But what I did not like is that he's revealing himself to the Joker trying to get the Joker released from Arkham. Like, they're never going to release fucking Joker from Arkham.
No.
And that's its own huge, big enough, like, that could be a miniseries of, like, putting Joker on trial for, right. Is he crazy? Is he sick? What is it?
It is one of the weaker parts of all this to me because doing it at the same time on the same pages right next to the Catwoman reveal, I'm like, no. The Catwoman reveal is huge. That is insane. Like, and then you're having this, like, shoehorned Joker Harvey, but it's also like he's taking the bandages off, so is he hush? It's too much. It's too much information when all I care about is the Catwoman reveal.
Well, and thinking back on the story, years after having read it a few times in a row, it's the Catwoman, Batman Bruce revealing himself to Selina Catwoman, is what I remember. I remember that slow build of him taking the mask off in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's side by side with the hush Two-Face Harvey Dent to the Joker reveal. And I didn't remember that part. That didn't sit with me as well as the Catwoman stuff does.
Cause I wasn't sure what your take on that Harvey thing was going to be. I didn't know if he loved it or not. I just don't see. I think we've had Two-Face so much, and he's such a great character that to take that and be like whitewash it off and just back to Harvey, it's just kind of.
It almost felt like, and I obviously love this whole story, but it felt like it was a requirement. It was like, we have all these characters, we have to get Two-Face in here somewhere, was what it felt like to me.
So is it just like a misdirection to have him in bandages, so we have an excuse to have a bandaged guy?
That's how I read it.
Okay.
One more suspect. Like, we just killed, I'm using quote marks for our listeners, we just killed our suspect.
Right.
So we have to bring in a bunch more.
Okay.
And let's just have a bunch of people in trench coats. We got Jim in a trench coat. We got the bandaged person, and it's Two-Face, and it.
Well, and there was another minor reveal or another clue given. Although Riddler didn't seem to be himself a part of the plot, there was some stuff left in the armored truck that he had stolen.
Yeah.
There was some ash from a Lazarus.
Now that part got me excited.
Which is going to open yet another question for Batman to pursue.
shirtless Ra's al Ghul.
Yay!
But first, Batman breaks onto Air Force One or whatever the hell.
Some LexCorp
president
plane.
Was the president at this point, so it's a LexCorp like.
Oh yeah, it's a LexCorp
president.
Presidential plane.
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
And he steals Talia off of it, and she's just like, "All right, where are we going?"
And Lex gets notified that Batman took Talia, and he's like, "Interesting.
We'll see how that plays out."
I like Lex's president. I didn't
so
think
so much.
It's a good lie. I'm glad they kept it going. So
it is a seat of power that Lex seems like he could hold and would be extremely horrifying if he did.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, honestly, I'd rather have Lex Luthor than what we've been dealing with the last 8 years or whatever, 6 years. But anyways, alas, alack.
We haven't talked about every cover in this series, but I did write, it's probably the only one that I put in my notes, the cover of 616 is just Batman with a sword and fire and another sword across the cover. If I had not been buying Batman and I had money and wasn't a college student, I would have bought that issue because I knew what was coming, right? Like, it is too clearly going to be a sword fight in the
desert.
He's
waiting for him shirtless in the desert. It's so dramatic. And he leaves a sword in the back computer. Like,
oh,
Roz
yeah.
leaves a sword. Like,
he left a sword. It's like his calling card. Like, come and fight me.
Right.
Detective, I'm waiting without my shirt. Just like you like it.
Well, so they do battle, and Batman beats him, right?
Stabs him.
Yeah, Batman stabs him. So Batman now is going outside of his normal things.
He is.
He's being forced to level up as these villains and other characters are. And I loved the moment of all of the people coming out of the sand to, like, shoot Batman before he finishes Ra's, and knowing that they were just there the whole time.
They, like, rise. They have little platforms that rise out of
the
sand.
Yeah, conveniently not where Ra's was. Could you imagine when pops up and Ra's, like, falls over?
Well, and obviously he's tracing the Lazarus Pit thread, but he steals Talia to draw Ra's out. And although Talia and Ra's are not communicating, she hates him, and she's running LexCorp right now. Batman knows by taking her, he will come for him, right? He will bring Ra's out of the shadows. And so he sticks Talia with Catwoman. And we get a really good moment of Talia being like, I can smell him on you. Like, what is going on between you two? And that love triangle, that pairing of lovers scorned is really good.
And then let's get one more action figure in.
We've got Lady Shiva.
Lady Shiva, who's like the best assassin in the world.
Yeah.
One or two people have ever beaten her kind of thing. And she kicks Catwoman's ass. And then Talia hits her with a chair.
Yep.
Which, you see how Talia escapes the tying up. Like, when Lady Shiva comes through.
It's one of those other little details.
Yeah. When she comes through the glass roof. You see glass shards go everywhere, and then when Shiva and Catwoman are fighting, you see Talia with a shiny piece of glass in her hand behind the chair. So she like grabbed one of the shards that fell down. I just thought it was cool.
And Catwoman stands no chance against Shiva, but luckily Talia saves her, and she does so because it will make her beloved sad if she dies, right?
Right. Like, yeah, she can't. And Ra's, when Batman finally beats him, tells him that someone had used the Lazarus Pit to come back.
Yes.
But who?
I don't know.
Who in your life would wish to come back from the dead? He asks Batman.
Yes. Who?
And then we get an interesting little tidbit from Wizard Zero. Ben, you didn't read this until right before we recorded.
Yeah.
They get back to the Batcave.
Alfred has a heart-to-heart with Selina.
Yeah, he... It kind of builds it up that Alfred's going to slam her and, like, why are you here? I don't trust you. I'm going to protect Master Bruce. And he goes the other way. Even having read this for years, in my head, I did think he called her out and said that he was going to be watching her or something like that. I forgot that he gives her his vote of confidence.
Yeah.
And says that he's good for Bruce. Or she's good for Bruce. Sorry.
I like that. I like that part. It's Alfred knows how much Selina or Catwoman compliments and how much Bruce needs that to be who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the cave doesn't feel quite as cold.
Oh. So
I didn't write the damn line.
Alfred always has Bruce's best intentions. Even if it's like I'm quitting for the 18th time, he always has Bruce's best intentions.
I'm leaving. Unless you're about to die, and then I'll come back. And
right. So he obviously sees something in Selena if he's not going to shush her out with a broom.
So 6:17.
Yep.
Batman, Selena are in the cave, and Tim busts in on them.
Yeah. And he's like, why you hang out? You're not my new mom.
Poor Tim. They're all in the cave together because Batman puts it together that maybe the sword that Ra's left for him wasn't just a calling card. Maybe it was actually pointing to something. And so he's tearing his computer apart, trying to figure out if somebody has laid some kind of trap in his bat computer.
And he starts fighting Catwoman. They get dramatically in front of the case with the old Robin suit, of course, for so many reasons that happens. And Batman picks him up by the scruff of his collar like a kitten. He picks him up like a kitten.
So Tim is what, like 17, 16?
He's 16 here.
16, okay.
15 even. He's young.
All right. Well, Aaron, your 15-year-old is very athletic. He wrestles. Mm-hmm. He does martial arts.
Aaron
he
could
runs.
Not pick him up like that.
Yeah. He's got to weigh what, like a buck 10, buck 25 maybe?
113.
Okay. Batman is lifting this guy out above, off of his feet, one arm extended. Like, Batman's buff, man. He's pretty powerful.
Yeah, he is.
His little feet are kicking, like, put me down, let me at him, let me at him.
Well, and then we find out that was part of their plan. They had a plan to piss off Catwoman.
Which I love that, excuse me, I love that Tim was not being this irrational little kid who's going to fight Catwoman, but it comes from... Bruce explains that Tim did have feelings about it, and he had to explain it to him.
He actually talked to him about something before he revealed to Catwoman. He had discussed it with his partner and his ex-partner.
Yeah. God, I love this Batman. animated series and Hush Batman are the only Batman I want. Or a background character who gets smacked around.
So Catwoman leaves, and she runs into Huntress, who seems like she's a little possessed.
Yeah, a little fear gas going on, because that's a toy we haven't grabbed yet. Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Well, and we had her so early on that we didn't really start to question why she was where she was, why she looked different. But she's rambling about taking money and then being betrayed, and she thought she was doing the right thing.
Now, Jake, you mentioned not remembering the Two-Face reveal. This was something I hadn't remembered. I didn't remember her coming back in this way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I like vaguely remember that Scarecrow was somewhere just from like...
Well, he needed to be.
One of the covers I have, I think he's on it. But I didn't remember that. So this part was exciting to me to be like, oh yeah, other people are being manipulated and used.
Yeah. So the Scarecrow was there, Aaron.
Yeah. With the fear. And I thought that was... I mean, I was kind of like, okay, why is she possessed? Oh, that would make sense. We haven't seen him yet. And then it was a good, like, drag that guy in as well and use the fear to get Batman to go where he wants. That was, like, to kind of drag him out. They follow and they see Huntress with Catwoman. And Robin gets nailed by what we think is the bandaged person.
Who calls him a pretender.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the moment.
So Batman confronts it, and the bandages are removed, and we see Jason Todd.
Who?
So this is the first time we see an adult Jason Todd, which is weird to think about now with everything that's happens after the story. But yeah, he's mad, and he knows all of Bruce's secrets. And so, of course, he could have been Hush. That totally makes sense. And this is big, dramatic thing. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in the top performing writers and artists right now to do this big thing to bring back a character we were never going to bring back.
Mm.
Yeah. Somebody that DC promised would never return is there.
Although Young Justice did it first for the
rest. We read that, too.
We did read that. And it wasn't that long ago that they did that. But they used a... what Jason was like before he died, or
right, it was
age appropriate, but now he's aged up. He's around the age that Dick is. He's got a very defining streak of white in his hair. Yet he's fully costumed. He's got an R on his chest. He's got like a leather suit underneath the trench coat, and he's got the domino mask on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It was. And
Superman died, Green Arrow died, and they're alive. Why couldn't Jason be alive?
Well, it's true. Who says that in this? Is it an internal monologue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. And I love that Jason, when he makes his reveal in this way, in this book, is with a knife to Tim's neck, right? Like, whatever happens in this next issue, they drive home the jealousy that would be there with Jason and Tim. Mm-hmm.
So, Ben, did you read this as it was coming out monthly?
I was concerned. Yeah, I did. And honestly,
that is a cliffhanger of all kinds to leave.
I mean, luckily I had my Robin issues that I knew were not being canceled, and I had my Young Justice that was coming to an end, and Tim was still there. I was like, okay, he's not going to die. It's okay. But I don't think I was happy about Jason coming back. If I can in any way try to actually remember, I don't think I was happy about Jason coming back because
he's
not supposed
to. Well,
that's
good because he didn't come back.
Ooh, yeah. Oh. It was Clayface.
Yeah, which I thought was great. And Batman figures that out because he would have called me Bruce.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
And he's using Nightwing's moves and acrobatics. And there's a point where Batman pauses and he's like, Jason was never this good.
Now, I like that, but that's also like, well, bitch, he's
you
an adult now.
Trained him.
Well, he's an adult now, and you don't know, like, I don't know. But it was good detective work.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, okay, we're obviously saying everything that happens in these books, so reveal for the end of this. I knew in this moment, as soon as it was like Jason's Clayface, I was like, oh, so dead Thomas Elliot was Clayface. I got that in that moment.
Okay. All right. Mm.
Because I'm like, okay, you just told me
that it could happen,
that anyone could be Clayface in this story. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that was, yeah.
Well, and he's putting together that this isn't Jason, but we aren't given who it is until the kind of the climax of the fight, and Clayface just kind of melts in Batman's
just
hands.
So gross.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like raining and it's he like good. They say he like goes into the ground, like mixes with the mud and stuff,
right?
And
he can just like transport himself that way.
He's a powerful ass Clayface.
Oh, he is.
And
he
this is the thing dude. That Bruce like holds on to
because he's an actor.
I'm an actor. It's Batman's biggest fail, right? And so it's the thing that they think they can hold over him and distract him the most. But this Batman has got a clear head. He's putting the pieces together during the fight.
He's in love.
He's not being distracted by all this. And he knows...
Shockingly, because he's had a lot to deal with the last month.
Yes.
But yes, Jake, continue.
He's able to put it together, and he's able to make sure he doesn't reveal too much. He's like, you're not the Robin that died. So you're not Jason.
Which, they're at Jason's grave, so Clayface is an idiot if he doesn't put anything together, but...
But he's an actor!
Yeah.
So, after Clayface vanishes, Batman goes to Oracle to try to find Huntress for some reason. I don't know why he wants Huntress again. But...
And this is the first time we actually see Oracle. He's been talking to her, but we hadn't seen her.
And so he finds this electronic thing being placed in the cave, like a relay was found in the cave,
which is what Roz was pointing to. Roz is actually looking out for him, because
and we have Harold return briefly.
Gag, goop, guffuttery.
And Harold is healed.
Harold is the betrayer, the one who sold out Batman and let all of this take place, really.
So a plastic surgeon
fixed Harold and was able to
made his
normalize.
Back, they made his back straight and they gave him speech.
Yes.
So this is the only two pages that we get of Harold being able to talk.
Yes, but we get his whole backstory. We get a just like he's done for Jason and Barbara and.
Well, yeah, because how many people, like, even if you'd been reading Batman, you could have missed Harold if you were just reading Batman casually over the years.
Yeah.
And he's been gone since what? No Man's Land? When he ran off to...
No, we saw him in Asriel.
Bob the Builder. I didn't read that.
Can he fix it? No, he can't. Right.
So, yes, I loved that they brought in Harold, and then they immediately kill him, which was sad.
But Batman forgives him immediately, too. Like, you had every right to want happiness, he tells him. Like, I don't blame you.
And then Batman's internal monologue is, maybe I should have given him more than dog food.
Right, maybe I should have let him come up to the manor and not stay in the cave.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe I should have called Tommy, like, 3 years ago.
But he didn't call Tommy 3 years ago because he didn't have Tommy in his mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what the betrayal was, that Harold planted in the computer a subliminal message to just repeat Tommy Elliot's image and name.
Image and name just randomly throughout so that it would be embedded in Bruce when he needed it, which I think is great.
Wild.
Which
yeah.
I think is great that they use that subliminal message throughout the book to try to lay clues, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's everybody's wearing the trench coat. People are whispering the word hush. Like, they're planting all of these things just as this has been planted in Batman's head from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, Hush shoots Harold. Harold's yes. dead. And then we go into the last issue of the 12.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he sees that Batman sees that Hush is wearing Tommy's jade pendant that was from his mother and important to him.
Mm-hmm.
His version of the pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The pearls.
So Hush is quoting Aristotle again.
Yep. Some more Aristotle quotes.
So it is Thomas Elliot.
Yes.
Reveal. Yeah. Shocker. Didn't matter to me. I didn't care. I was like, it was so obvious, but it was about the journey and it was about the art and it was about the cameos and the detective moment, it mm-hmm. all made sense. And we find out that Tommy is doing all of this because he was a sadistic little a-hole as a child who wanted his parents to die.
Yeah.
And he was mad at Thomas Wayne and therefore mad at Bruce because he saved the mom. I'm like, the fuck? I did not remember that.
That was a little dark.
I did not remember that at all.
Yeah, he cut the brakes on the car that brought about what was supposed to be the end of his own parents.
Yeah, psycho.
Oops. Yeah, he kind of held a grudge for a long time. Yeah, that's
but
a
now
little,
he's
little
done
intense.
A lot of, like, well, I guess plastic surgery. But he's done a lot of, like, good over the years.
To make up for that? Trying to kill his parents?
I don't know. He just wanted money. But I was like, well, you got money the old-fashioned way by becoming a doctor. So it's interesting. It's like you're a sadistic little a-hole who tried to kill your parents. But then mm-hmm. he like doesn't kill his mom. The mom dies of cancer later. I'm like, why not just kill her later?
Well, he wasn't willing to do the dirty work himself with his parents. But at the climax of the story, he is willing to fight Batman. I mean, he's a gun-toting maniac at this point. And he's blasting away at Batman.
Which, I like that it's guns, because it's the whole Batman thing. Batman hates guns.
Started with a gun.
Yeah, it started with a gun. So I like that his weapon of choice is guns.
And it's not Nightwing or Tim or Oracle or Huntress that comes to the rescue. It's Gordon.
Yep. Jimbo. Jimbo shows up. And Harvey.
And Harvey.
Bald Harvey.
Bald Harvey. So I
bald,
know...
Bald, good skin Harvey.
There's a part of me that's like, meh. Like, I know you're trying to really drive home that he's Harvey and he's gone good in the way that he thinks is good. I like it that it's a callback to year one. That it started
the
with...
The bridge.
Started on a bridge, mm-hmm. started with Harvey, Jim, and Batman, and here is them putting the pieces together. That those are his friends that are saving him.
Yeah. So Tommy, Hush ends up in the water, and they're like, oh, couldn't find him, he's dead. I'm like, absolutely not. All of the things he just did and all of these shenanigans, and you're like, he's just dead in the river. Like, come on now. That was a little annoying. And then we find out that he didn't work alone.
No.
And the actual big reveal, the reveal I actually cared about.
Which I think was, I think there were so many clues that obviously the body, like Ben, you said, when it's revealed that Clayface was willing to manipulate or imitate anybody,
yeah.
that the Tommy Elliot was a diversion, the body in the alley. This is the big reveal of Hush, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, Tommy Elliott being Hush, not that far of a leap to get there.
No.
But the fact that one of the OG Rogues members was really pulling the strings.
Yeah. What did you think of Riddler being the one pulling the strings?
I loved it. I love that he knows that it's Batman, or that he knows Bruce is Batman. Mm-hmm. And I love that he only relayed the information that was needed to the certain people that needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman points out to him when he's visiting him in his little cell, he's like, it's fine. You're not going to actually do anything with this information because, like a riddle, the more people that know the answer, the more useless the riddle is. And Enigma, Edward just sits there like, fuck. I loved it. Like Batman has great. Him. And I will be excited to see future Riddler stuff, because I don't actually know. Like, I have some Riddler things, mm-hmm. but I think they're just kind of like funny little one-off stories before this even happens. So I'm curious to see if
Riddler's
he
come
uses
all
it.
A long way from just putting on Catwoman suit.
Oh my god.
I think this is
I
really
see Jim Lee draw that.
I do too now.
Where you have where you have like the creation of the Iceberg Lounge being the pivotal point for Penguin. I think this is a huge pivotal point for Riddler from this point on to now, where Riddler is a mastermind. He is smarter than everybody else.
I think this is where Batman's like, ooh, I may need to keep a better eye on this guy.
Absolutely. He's not somebody I should be writing off and forgetting about. He is trouble.
Well, it makes sense. It would be silly that Riddler would not know.
Right.
Like, his whole thing is riddles.
He's uncovering mysteries and riddles. And,
yeah. Leading people to the answers of things. Why would he not know who Batman was?
Well, it's one of the great things about this book. All the pieces were pulled together to make a good entourage story, but it casts so many of them in a familiar but new light and sets them up for years to come, and is... I said it once, but I'll say it again, that I think this is a great jumping on point for readers. I think you could pick this up and be hooked on Batman, good Batman, for the next few years.
Now, if you haven't read it, so sorry we spoiled everything, but it's still pretty pictures. You should still go get it.
And even after that reveal, there's still clues to be laid. Mm-hmm. The body of Jason Todd was missing from the grave. Mm-hmm. It's still not there.
Yeah.
Oh, so we should say that Riddler used the Lazarus Pit.
Right.
So Roz,
he had cancer. Right. He healed himself.
Roz was not actually involved in things. Roz got pulled in, and Riddler wanted Batman to take Roz out of the equation Hush wanted Batman to take Roz out of the equation because he wasn't supposed to be there to begin with.
Yes. Well, you also just need Roz. If you're going to have everybody show up, you got to have...
Yes,
you
know. But he was not manipulated
no.
like the other people.
Everybody's been manipulated, but has Catwoman been manipulated? And they see each other for another moment, a loving, tender moment, and he's talking too much. He's laying things out too well, and she tells him to hush and just give her a kiss. And he flips. He's like, nope, definitely not.
So,
and someday he will have to learn to trust her.
My opinion, no one's asking, but I'm going to tell you, is that she was not using him or being manipulated. And she just said the word. It was a slip. And he's so fucking paranoid and he can never trust people. His flaw, well, he has a lot. One of his flaws is his trust issues.
Yeah.
And I like it that way, but I like that it's a little up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But she leaves, and
she's like, "I can't deal with you, boy. When you grow up, give me a call. My pussy will be open."
Jesus. Meow.
Well then,
I didn't say anything we weren't all thinking.
But as important as that love story and that relationship building was to this entire 12 issues, it ends on a very sour note. And it's not picked up for a little bit. It is hinted at, but it is not repaired for quite some time.
And I think that's okay. I think it needed to end. It can't be like walk away into the sunset with your woman. He's got to earn that.
Right, because it's not Superman.
No, yeah.
It's Batman.
Yep.
He doesn't get the girl.
Nope, not right away. No. Reviews?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's all right.
That was terrible.
Horrendous.
I'm offended.
I'm appalled.
That was
awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
No!
I was pleasantly surprised to enjoy it for more than just the pictures after all of these years, because I went in being like concerned that we'd built it up too much. And I really think it is, for all my jokes about like, I can quit the podcast when we get to Hush, it really is a culmination of all of the things we've read so far, I think. So I recommend it to anyone who likes comic books.
I had read it a long time ago without having read a lot of the background stuff. And reading it this time, I think it goes right up there with Long Halloween and Dark Victory as a great story. The only thing I didn't like was the Two-Face part, and that's very minor and not liking. But I think in here it was a good distraction to give another red herring on who the villain was. But overall, really well told story, well written. The art's amazing. It's just all around a great story.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to, you can have a lot going on. You can have a full 12 issues, and I didn't feel like I was choking on the story the entire time. I also didn't feel like I was reading 12 issues when I read it. There's a lot of splash pages. There's a lot of double, it is that image art style where you have like three panels per page sometime, and it reads pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it wasn't like overly wordy.
If you know about the Bat Family and the Rogues Gallery, this is a must read for Batman continuity. So
what's next, Jake?
Well, if you are reading
Nothing.
Along with us.
Goodbye. I'm done.
I was waiting for that to happen.
You're welcome.
I told my wife that if Ben quit on air, that he and I were no longer brothers.
Well, you won't know if I quit till you listen to future episodes, because I can say it all day long. Yeah, what's next, Jake? That might determine.
Uh-oh.
So Ben got something he's wanted, so now it's another 7 months of nonsense.
I know some Young Justice is coming up at some point.
So if you're reading along with us, we are going to find out what Catwoman was doing in her own story while these issues were coming out.
Who was licking that cat?
So we are reading the trade paperback Catwoman Relentless. This is going to collect the Catwoman 12 through 19. I think that's volume 3. And Catwoman's Secret Files number 1. Mm-hmm. Not only is this going to fill in what Catwoman is up to in her own adventures, but it is going to set up a lot for the next coming years in Batman mythos. So,
can't wait. Okay. Aaron, great. What did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Jake, pick number 1 through 3.
2.
Hush, dummy!
Oh my god, I look forward to the sticker.
As we all do.
Well, for the Brotherhood of Batman, it has been an adventure getting here. It has been a lot of fun. I think it was well worth the read and all the crap that I made you guys read to get to this point. So
don't go that far, Jake.
For the Brother of Batman, I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean us up. Thanks for listening.
I'm Ben, the baby, your sunshine into Gotham. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Old self, bed is playing.